Welcome to the Herding Cats Podcast. We are a podcast for children's pastors by children's pastors. Here is your host, Todd Hixenbaugh.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Herding Cats Podcast. The talking voice just told you who I am, but I will say it again. My name is Todd Hixenbaugh. I am so glad to be with you today. We are continuing on my little project where I'm releasing all these old episodes from the Kid Connection podcast. Hey, it's the same podcast, just a new brand, new logo. Everything's the same though, in terms of, you know, I am not stealing these episodes, just so you know. It really is me talking in them to these people. But hey, we're re-releasing those things and it's a good time. We have another episode for you, but before we get to all of that, just wanted to remind you, I am going to be at Orange Conference 2019, May 1st through the 3rd. You're going to want to check out Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Herding Cats Pod, and also on Instagram. You're going to want to check those two places out because I'm going to be all over that place. And you're going to want to know what I'm doing because I'm crazy and I'm just going to be all over having fun and meeting as many of you as I can and talking a lot. I'm going to talk a lot. It's going to be great. Anyways, also wanted to remind you, hey, we have a website component to this whole podcast thing. So you're going to want to go on over to herdingcatspodcast.com and yeah, go over there, check it out, do the thing, all the things. Hey, we have a great episode today with Gabe Boucher. Gabe is a person who he has worked for Worlds of Wow. He's been a children's pastor himself, and he's talking to us about environments. He's talking to us about how to create an exceptional environment, not just physically in terms of, you know, like having a cool looking stage and things, but actually how to help people be able to really experience your church in a new way from a first impression standpoint in children's ministry. Really important conversation. I am so excited to be able to have that with him. And so this was actually the first episode that I aired on the Kid Connection podcast, and it was a lot of fun. I just remember really learning a lot from this episode. So we are going to get into that episode right now. Welcome to the podcast, Gabe Boucher.
Oh, how you doing, Todd?
That was your cue.
Sorry. Sorry. I didn't know if you wanted me to say anything. I was waiting for your question. Yeah.
No. Hey, well, I just appreciate you so much for coming on and spending some time with me today. And just tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you do and everything like that.
Yeah, well, I'm Gabe Boucher. I'm with Worlds of Wow, and I'm blessed with an awesome opportunity that I get to partner with churches all over the country to really help them put their vision and direction together for their environment for their children's ministry.
That's awesome. And you were a children's pastor by trade, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I was a children's pastor in Kansas City for some time, and really just love being able to actually still be involved in ministry by helping out other churches.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about World. Is it World of Wow or Worlds of Wow?
Yeah, it's Worlds. It's with the S. It's
Worlds with an S. Okay. Tell me a little bit about Worlds of Wow. Like, what is it? What's going on?
Yeah, Worlds of Wow, we've been partnering with churches for about 13 years now, and we really help churches put a whole environment for their kids and family. I mean, it started out in our founder's garage with a credit card, and he's sitting there doing something and just helping a few churches. And now, 13 years later, we've been able to work with over 600 churches all over the country. Some of the churches, we can rattle off the names, you know, but we work with churches from a few people to thousands and thousands of people. But we really want, and our mission is to help churches have an environment that fosters life change. I mean, we want to be able to help you put you in a position that as a church is growing and reaching other people, that you will have the correct environment to be able to reach everyone properly to what you're wanting to accomplish.
And you guys don't do just churches. Like, I see on your website, you guys do dentist office. By the way, how cool would that be to walk into a dentist office like that?
Yeah, you know, I say 80-90% of everybody that we work with are churches, and that's how it's been all these years. But what we've noticed is that, like as you mentioned, pediatric dental offices, is that those are you're still dealing with children, you're still dealing with families and that,
kids, yeah.
And so it's a perfect application. And we've seen dental offices where we've done a ship under the sea, and it's that we did one where we had this cool big cypress tree and an alligator that you can get your picture with, and animals popping out of the wall. I mean, it's really fun to be able to work with all kinds of environments, and especially do play as well, because we do theme and play together. So we've got a rocket ship playground. We got a tree growing out of a playground. So it really is fun to kind of just come in to work every day and see what your imagination can come up with.
Right. That's just so awesome, too. You know, for kids, oftentimes – you know, it's the stranger danger thing, right? So they're in a new area and it's like, hey, I'm not sure about this, but hey, you come in and you're seeing a pirate ship.
Yeah, oh,
man.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fun. We definitely have seen, you know, the impact that it can make, and just to kind of help someone a lot of times, obviously, you know, it's that first time reaction when you walk in there versus I don't want to go in there. I don't want to hold up. Wait, what? What is that?
Yep.
So it's kind of fun to hear those stories of how they see and hear kids and how their reactions change immediately.
That's so awesome. Now what exactly is your role at the company? Like what do you do 9 to 5? Like what are you doing there?
You know, it's really cool. What I do 9 to 5 is that I really help you come up with a vision, and that I am more of a vision caster consultant. And I work directly with churches and pastors to kind of say, okay, this is what you want to do. Let me talk with you, connect with you. I want to hear as much information about your church so that we then can come back with our creative team and put together some visuals of what your space can look like. And so that's what I get to do every day. It's awful fun.
So like, what's the process you guys go through with that? Like somebody calls you up, says, hey, I've got X amount of money. I want to do a children. Like walk me through that process.
You know, that's a good question. You know, the process is really the same for really any size church or anybody, but really we want to capture your vision first. The most important thing that we can do, the most important thing that I get to do, is really sit down and talk with you. So I'll use you as an example. Okay, what kind of church are you at? Where are you at? How many people? What are you trying to do? What kind of curriculum are you using? I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just, well, here you go. I'm going to put this round peg in a square hole.
Sure.
That's not what we do. We do a unique application for every church we're able to partner with. And so it's really sitting down, getting all the information. And here's the thing, is that we work with people who know, okay, I want a space-themed environment. I want a rocket ship over here. I want an astronaut here. I want this, this, and that. Okay, great. We can do that. We also work with people that, hey, Gabe, I want to do something. We know we got to do something for our kids and families areas. I don't know what to do. I have no idea, but I know we need to do something. No problem, because that's what we do. We take our experience and everything that we've done and everyone we worked with, and we are able to apply that to say, hey, let's talk. Let's really go over everything. Let me hear your heart. Let me see and hear what you're wanting to do. And then we're able to put that together. And selfishly, that's a little more fun for myself. I actually love it when you say, Gabe, I don't know what to do. How can we do something? That's fun, because I love to see and hear you when you're able to go, oh, you got it. Oh, that's going to be awesome. To me, that's a big thrill.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So with that, it sounds like almost you're kind of helping people in those instances almost create a vision, like for their ministry in general.
Absolutely. You know, we work with some where their vision is very clear and they know exactly what they're doing, and we do that. But also, we do help with that. I think the one thing about me particularly is that I really like to look at your church from the parking lot to the pew. And I think that you will see, and I know that from our conversations, is that that affects your children's ministry. And okay. I think everyone listening here is that you've ran into situations where something that happened out in the front of the church or something that happened out of that, how it leaked in and it affected your kids' ministry or affected how the kids responded to that. And so we really want to look at the church overall, how is that all coming in together, and how does that affect the kids' ministry, and what can we do to make the kids' ministry the most awesome, most impactful area of the church?
Yeah, that's awesome. And you talk about that
the parking lot to the pew thing. I think it's Jeff Henderson a couple years ago at Catalyst Conference was talking about kind of stuff that they do at Gwinnett Church, where, you know, they have people bringing kids in like wagons for events.
Yeah.
And just having that attention to detail. Yeah. To be able to think through, you know, environments and just how it impacts things. Talk to me a little bit about, like the significance of an environment in children's ministry. Like, why can't we just have classrooms with some tables in it and a check-in station with just a computer? Like, why is it important to do this?
Yeah. Well, I will say for what you just said, you can do that. You can do that. And I think a lot of times, when we talk to churches, let's face it, we get a little disappointed, right? Let's just be real. Man, our church doesn't look like the church down the street.
Right.
And man, my church isn't good enough. And we lose track of what our real mission is. We lose track of why, as us as children's directors and children's pastors, are there 7 days a week. We're there on our day off. We're there sitting at home in our garage trying to put stuff together. We're running around stores trying to get extra containers, and we're telling our friends and put stuff on Facebook to save different things so we can put stuff together, you know. But I think, to go back to your question, is that the reason the environment is so important to children is that just look around you and how that they react. I mean, as children, you know, they respond to so many different things, to colors, to sounds, and most importantly, people. And so when you're able to harness all of those together and put all those together in an environment that can grab their attention, just think of when you can, what's that? And now you've got their attention, and now you're able to get them, and now they're not worried about that thing going on with their parents. They're not worried about that thing going on at school or their brothers or their sisters, that you're then able to focus and really give them the message that they need to hear.
Sure, kind of the Disney World effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So, all right, we're talking environments, we're talking parking lot to pew. What are some important things to include? Like, when you begin to think of environments, especially like in our context, children's ministry environments, what are some things, that you're looking to include in that? Like, what are you thinking about?
Yeah. You know, I can tell you what we're thinking about, kind of some of the most important things that you need to do. Is really, one is signage and direction. I mean, it's amazing how many times you'll go into a church and you have no idea where to go. And I experience that because I'm blessed to visit churches from time to time, but yet I have nowhere to go. But we're just under the assumption, oh, well, just go down past the choir room and the bathroom and it's right there. What are you talking about? But yet I think that is probably one of the biggest things. Is signage and also traffic flow. You know, what one thing that really shocked me, and I can't get over it, is that I went to a church and I saw a family have a preschooler, they had a nursery, and they had an elementary student. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but you've got three different areas that you have to go. And it took this family over 20 minutes to get their child checked in, and then from them to get into the sanctuary.
Oh, wow.
20 minutes of running around and doing that. And the reason is that you had to go from one side of the building to the other side for this and that, and you didn't consider traffic flow. You didn't consider where people go. You'd rather have a room next to the nursery that you really could put the preschool in and make it easier. But brother and sister so-and-so have always had their Sunday school there, so we got to keep it there. Or we got to have that as storage, or we got to have this and that. Is that really taking time to consider what that person is going through. Think of the attitude and the impact of that parent. Oh, finally sitting down. I'm sorry, honey, I'm late. I had to walk around. I'm sorry. Oh, pastor already started talking. What are they talking about? Just think about the difference of that person when they can sit in. Oh, I'm now a part of worship. Okay.
Right.
Oh, hi, now I'm able to meet someone. And just think of the impact. And that's why I think it's so important to consider everything from the parking lot to the children's ministry, of how your children's ministry right there just impacted how these parents are going to respond and receive the message.
And so it's really a ministry in itself.
Absolutely. 100%.
So we talk about signage. What about like check-in area? Like, nothing is worse to me than a cluttered, jacked up looking check-in area. Because if we're being honest, it's the first experience most parents are having.
Yes.
Like with your children's ministry. Talk to us about check-in area. Like what do we need to do?
Well, one for check-in area, make it known. Actually know where to go in. You've got a folding table and a laptop over there. Great. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what you can do? Why don't you put a sign above it that says check in here? Or if you don't do that, why don't you have a friendly volunteer who has a lanyard or a shirt or something? Hey, Todd, hey, you right over here. I can get you right here. How you doing, guy? It's amazing that, you know, we get upset when we go to Target or Walmart or some other store and would they open up some other registers? I'm waiting.
Yep.
Why is this and that? And we get upset. But yet we don't try to accommodate people in the same matter when it comes to church. Is that, it's okay. They can just wait. They can just wait. But do you know who that they is? Do you know that they is a new family that's just now coming to the church?
Yeah.
Do they know that they is a father that's dealing with something, that's dealing with a marriage that's falling apart or anything else that they're going through? And that they finally have been able to come into church, but now dad's all upset because he doesn't know where to go to check in his kids or anything else. When you're able to have a check-in area that is clearly marked, that it works well, it's huge. And here's another thing, is look at how many people come into your church. You have your main check-in area, but if you realize that, okay, a lot of times kids' areas are on the side of the church and all your regulars come in the side, but then you have new families and everyone else come through the front of the church, but you have zero presence on the very front of the church. You have nothing there showing that you have a kids' ministry or even a check-in area. That if you just took the time to have even one extra volunteer, even a simple table, something there that said, hey, check in here, kids' ministry here, that it would make a world of difference. Check-in is one of the most important things, but think about where you have it, and it's okay to have more than one area to check in. The more, the better.
Sure, sure. So we've got check-in, we've got signage. So what is something else that you think is just so important when it comes to environments and really first impressions with kid ministry?
You know, I would say, and it's kind of a lot of times when you say this, people are like, huh, but it's true. The most important thing for your environment are people. Are they people? And it's having the right people in the strategic positions. And that, listen, and I want to encourage everyone listening to this, is that, you know, as you're starting, as your church is growing, and, you know, you might not have that big, huge, cool themed out area, but as your church is working hard and you're wanting to reach more people, is that just think, like we talked about, having people and areas for check-in, but if you have the right people, if you've got that volunteer who, bless them, they've been serving, but they'd rather hold their coffee and look at their phone and, don't put them at the front and at your check-in. If you've got a nice, friendly,
put them at the coffee bar.
Yeah, put them at the coffee bar. Put the key people in those areas. And I'm telling you right now, I've seen it and I know it, that if you put those key people in those areas, that it will make such a difference on that impact. It'll make a difference on that family that we were just talking about coming in that, oh, well, I'm happy to help you. Or, you know what, I know there's a line. What's your name? Let me talk to you. So now they've just engaged those people. You might not have that big, cool, awesome, organized check-in area yet, but you know what? You've contacted that person. You've made a connection with them where now it might be okay or it might be ease that they're waiting to do that. I'm telling you, if you could have people in key positions, look at what people are on the seat in their bus. It's okay to move people around because they have to understand the why. Why are we doing kids ministry? We're doing kids ministry so that people will come to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. These kids will know who they are. They will know who they are in Christ. And it's not about you've been sitting serving here for 10 years, holding a coffee, looking at your phone, talking to brother so-and-so when they come in about the game or something. No, why don't you go ahead and move to another area? Because this is so important for us to make an impact with these kids.
Yeah, wow. I think that's huge because I think oftentimes we don't take all those things into, you know, and especially as children's pastors too, I think oftentimes we're so concerned with, hey, do I have my puppets right for the day? Do I have, is the video going to work? Oh my gosh, where is the music person? What, Like, we're so focused on that that I think the environment does sometimes, and the first impression piece to it does kind of get swept under the table. So I think that's huge. Love yeah. that. So with this, I mean, okay, it's great. We can do some practical things. Let's be honest. All of us want to have life churches,
mm-hmm.
like check-in area and stuff like that. But with that, are there some things that we should prioritize in terms of, okay, we're trying to redo some stuff. We're rebranding a little bit. We're doing this kind of thing. Are there some things that we should prioritize as being the most important? Like, is that something that you see?
Absolutely. I would say, one, go back on something that we said, prioritize one, signage and people. And those are some that we talked about before. But
yeah.
the other things are, is colors in your logos in this. And a lot of times I cannot recommend even more. I know that there are some great ministries out there where it's Fire Destiny Kids Ministry or Kid Blow Up blah blah, versus if you just said, okay, this is blank church kids ministry. And why? Because you got to put yourself in the position of a first time guest, and how are they going to be able to find where to go and what to do? So I would say, with that, get your signage and everything else, but you want to make sure that your colors and your labeling is correct. I think that would be a huge priority, as well as once you have those colors and labels correct, make sure that they match things that you're handing out. Make sure that they match stuff that you're doing on your website, what you're doing on your Facebook page. You want to be consistent in everything that you're doing, because you want to have those multiple impressions on people so that they can really understand what you're doing. And another thing is that another priority is being clean. It doesn't take much to be clean. And another priority is communication.
Here.
Communication. It's amazing how many times we'll do all this stuff and we got to do everything, but yet we don't make it a priority for parents to know what's going on. If we want them to be a part of this outreach we're doing, or we're having this special family night, or we're doing this for just the boys, we're doing this for the girls, we're doing this for this age group, but yet we tell them a day before, and with all the activities everybody's doing, if you can communicate as much in advance as possible, keep that reminded in front of them. Don't just depend on that second grader to tell their mom and dad that we're having a kids' night coming up. I think that could be a major game changer.
Sure. So shifting gears a little bit, when you were talking at the beginning a little bit about crafting a vision, and then we've talked a little bit about environment and what's important. Are there things that are more important in terms of so your style of the way that you do kids ministry? So when you're helping people craft visions and things, and figuring out exactly what they need to be able to represent what they're doing, are there certain styles of children's ministry and ways of doing things that dictate environmental needs?
That's a good question, and I would say absolutely there's different styles. And what affects those different styles is your curriculum. And here's an example. If we're talking to you and like, okay, what do you want to do? How do you want space to look? It's so important to know what curriculum you're going to be using, and if possible, what you're going to be using for the last few years. There's certain curriculums out there that has a host all the time. Mm-hmm. And so you want to be able to, hey, guys, I'll be right back. And you hop off stage and you grab something and, hey, here's this and that, or this is what I'm doing. There's a lot of curriculums that, you know what, it's video-based. So we don't really need to focus maybe on a stage and different things like that. We need to make sure that we incorporate screens and flat screens and in there. It's that style is really important, because you want to make sure that you're structuring that to fit around what you're going to be doing. You're doing it around to fit around what you're going to do. You know, as churches are growing, we don't want to help you where you're at. We want to help you to where you're going to be in 5 to 10 years. And we want to have that built around that. So I would say the thing that's really important when it comes to your style is what curriculum, what teaching style are you going to have? Because it makes a big difference in how you set up the room and how you're able to interact with the children.
That's huge. Yeah, that's huge. So I guess when we think of environment and in your context, it's true, right? We think of building. We think of physical things that you can touch and that you see and the visuals and all of that. But as when I think of environment, I think it's more than – I think it's more than – I just wanted to hear kind of what you thought on an environment being more than just a building. What are some things that folks can do to build an environment that's irresistible for children through, like you said, curriculum and music and all these things? What are some things people can do?
I think one thing that you could do is really colors. I think focusing on colors, you know, beige is probably the most popular color that's painted in our church, right? Maybe if you got rid of the beige, if you actually were focused on colors, if you had a light blue with a little bit of orange or some yellow on that, just think of the difference of colors that you have. You know, we talked about before the people. That's huge, having the people in the right places of how you can do that. But from colors, from smells. I know we don't like to talk about it, but you know what? Is your restroom, is it smell okay? What are you doing about it? When's the last time, you know, the paint's been touched up in there? When's the last time there's been some fun decor around that? I mean, it's really just stopping, taking a moment, and really saying, okay, well, asking the Lord, give me a new set of eyes. Let me be able to look at this different. And then you'll notice that, you know what? That color, that smell. You know what? They can't hear anything. I maybe want to play some music right here. And you know what? I got people checking in here, but they walk all the way down the hall and through this room and here, there. Why don't I have them check in over there? I think you'd be surprised that there's a lot of things that you can do to really impact your environment without having to spend much money.
Sure, sure. And that's kind of the next piece to that. So folks might be listening and saying, hey, Gabe, great, love what you're saying. I have 30 children on a Sunday morning, and my budget a lot of times is supplemented by what the church pays me.
Yeah, exactly.
So when we're thinking about this budget-friendly stuff, just what it sounds like you're saying is, hey, there's a lot you can do that costs you nothing. Yes. Is there anything else outside of that that you could think of that would be like, hey, you don't have to pay for this. This is just something that you can just do.
Absolutely. I would say one is that actually really search, look at some of the larger churches. And the reason I mentioned some of the larger churches is that they have more staff and that they have more resources that they are actually giving away and they're helping. I think, you know, joked about, you know, a lot of times on a Friday, you've been working so hard and whatever. Oh no, I haven't put the lesson together for this weekend. Is that there is so much out there. Even like with us at Worlds of Wow, look at our website and we have over 10,000 pictures of different environments. Look at one and look at, oh, wow, I like what they did at that church there. You know what? Okay, I'm going to ask and use those colors. I love it. I've had churches call and say, hey, at this church, what colors did you use? And colors are colors. We're happy to help you and let you know what colors you have there. I mean, that's the thing. Don't be afraid to ask. Give a call, give an email out and say, hey, what'd you do there? How'd you do that? I think if you really reached out more, and that kind of really leads to a point that's something that I believe in, is that I really think you need to take the words of the great musician Vanilla Ice when he said, stop, collaborate, and listen. And here's why. If you would take a moment, stop, and collaborate, what are other churches around you doing? I mean, we're able to connect through this, and thankfully you've got this podcast and there's others out there. Listen, collaborate with other churches. If we really are on the same mission and we really want to see as many people be followers of Jesus as possible, I guarantee you it's okay that someone's going to take time to say, you know what, well, this is what I did on that lesson. This is what I did there. How are you doing that? I know that applies to us. Give us a call. I just think if you can collaborate with others, I think you would be amazed at how much that you can do and that you can really help your whole environment and your impact there. And also one other thing that I don't see a lot of churches doing, I think that can help, is when is the last time that you've invited your senior pastor or your executive pastor to be a part of your children's service?
Wow.
And if you actually take a moment, I have a feeling that if you ask them enough in advance, they'll probably do it. They'll probably be a part of it. And that can even serve as a way to honor your senior staff member, but it also gives them the opportunity to be like, I haven't been back here in 3 years. I've been so busy and doing everything. I didn't realize you had this many kids. I know I saw the report they gave me, but I didn't know that my grandson was back here. I mean, that sounds funny, but it's true. And if you can allow them to be a part and let them see, I think that then in turn, you'll notice that maybe your senior pastor is mentioning, hey, I was in the children's ministry this last weekend when Brother So-and-so was speaking, and man, it was great. Do you know that Pastor So-and-so was doing this? Do you know that? And now all of a sudden, you're getting more mentions about your children's ministry. Now all of a sudden, someone might hear and say, hey, I heard Pastor talking about that. You know, I might need to volunteer. I might want to help with that. I just think that that can be a key thing to what you're doing. It's just to be able to have your pastor be a part of that. And then another thing is that, you know, we're guilty as children's pastors and leaders is that we got to be there. We got to run around. It's crazy. We got to go, 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 go. If you can go ahead and set a Sunday and say, okay, this Sunday, I'm going to be at church, but it's actually going to be like I'm on vacation. I'm not here. I'm not teaching a lesson. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing any of that. And if you really focus, have a notepad, have your phone out, and really observe. Observe who's, okay, wow, I didn't realize that Brother So-and-so was really doing this and that, or so-and-so's doing that. If you just take a moment and observe, you'll just get a new perspective on things, and you'll really be able to find people that you can acknowledge. You'll be able to find people that maybe you need to shift around. It'll just really help you get a new perspective, which in turn you can then apply and have a better environment.
That's awesome. Love that. So with this whole thing, you talked about people. You've talked about volunteers and how, you know, you feel like those are one of the most important pieces to an environment. How does environment, how does it impact the way you recruit? Like, how do you recruit? Do you, like, talk to us about how that impacts volunteer recruitment and what you're trying to do there.
Yeah, I think it impacts your volunteer recruitment because it really, one, it gives your volunteers more opportunities to interact. If it's just a plain room and nothing's there, there's nothing to do, well, I'd be like, hey, Todd, yeah, I'm volunteer at the church. Man, I am bored. I sit there and I don't do anything. Versus, hey, Todd, dude, awesome. I was at the coloring station with these guys. And I was able to talk to Timmy. Do you know that he comes from the same situation I did, you know, when because my mom just raised me just like his mom's raising him. And now you've got people interacting and connecting that they otherwise wouldn't do. Or, hey, I was over at the game station. Or, hey, I was over here doing this. Or I was over at check-in, and I was able to talk to this kid and realize, you know what, that he was a little afraid coming in. But I showed him the seek and find wall that we have there. And I had him find the five or six things. And he thought that was so fun. And I was then able to reward him that he was able to go to our store or redemption center after service. It's little things like that that your volunteers, and let's face it, when you volunteer, you want to actually be a part of something. You want to do something. It's Todd, I'm a part of my kids' ministry. It's awesome. We did this and that. In those environments and those things that you're able to do, it just empowers those volunteers, and they'll end up recruiting even more people because they're a part of the excitement. And that excitement starts with that visual, and that excitement starts with opportunities to interact with the kids.
Love it. Love it. So what's one, just as we're starting to wind down here, what's one big idea people can use this week involving environment that can point children to Christ?
You know, I would say what's the one big idea to kind of go back to what we're saying is, where is the information for parents? How can your parents get involved? How can the parents reinforce on the ride home? What'd you learn today? Oh, no, Jesus. I mean, how many times do the kids say that? Yeah, Jesus. And they raise their hand. That's the token answer. But if you actually have informed parents that know that's going on, if you actually are able to let them know the lesson, what you learned, and it's very clear, then they can turn, no, hold on, wait a minute. I remember you heard about the disciples. Okay. And how they trusted Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I remember you heard about, okay, how Jesus did the miracles and how that was healed. Okay. Wow. And what'd you learn from that? And you ask, how does that help point people to Jesus? Because the parents are even being more involved. And the parents are helping point these kids to Jesus. And these kids are hearing their parents ask them questions about it. It's not just the children's ministry's job. And unfortunately, that's where we're at. Where, well, it's your job, Todd. You got to disciple my kid and get my kid. I'm sorry, I'm too busy. I got to work and I got to get him to soccer practice and gymnastics and everything else. But I'm telling you, the big idea is if you can have clear information. And one thing that we're doing a lot is we're having parent hubs. We're having set clear areas. I don't care if you have to staple something on the wall. If you have the leader and you're handing something to a parent or you're communicating to them, don't look at it as, oh, it's just a piece of paper that they're going to throw away and they're not going to do anything with. No, if you look at it as this is the key to get that kid who was really somewhat interested, I could see him, that he's going to make that next step and really move more toward a relationship with Jesus, I'm telling you, that can make a big impact.
Love it. What's one thing you're learning right now in leadership or children's ministry?
You know, I think that one thing that I'm learning, and it's a blessing working with all these different churches, that, you know, to have an effective kids ministry, it doesn't really matter on the size of your building or your budget. You know, it really depends on the amount of your effort and your commitment that you're putting into it. You know, I think that it's truly having dedicated leadership. It's really having your leadership committed to it. And that it's so important. I think that children's pastors, children's leaders are afraid to talk to maybe their senior pastor, or the church is structured where they're not able to speak to them. And that anything with leadership, it starts from the top. And that if you're able to have that to where your leadership is speaking about children's ministry, I mean, if a lot of churches, it's 10, 20, 30% of your total church, it varies. If you apply that, if a business had 20% of their business in a certain area, their leadership would know about it, that they would know what's going on. And I just think that if you can really focus on what you're doing and not get caught in size, you know, I won't say their name, but I'm blessed to work with this church, and it's not the biggest church. They actually set up in a high school, and they have a semi that shows up at 4 a.m. and volunteers set it up and do that. And people ask me, Gabe, what's one of your favorite churches you work with? When that, and I'm like, I'd really say it's them. And it's because of their heart. And it's about how they're so dedicated to just having a place of excellence and a place for everyone there. And they really pour into it. And it's really seeing a heart. And you can, let's face it, guys, you can tell. You can see if people are being real or not. And it's really having people that are committed. And I would encourage everyone here, you know, I really do miss being in kids ministry, and I miss being directly right in there. But one thing that I'm learning is that I try to do too much. I think we're all guilty of trying to do too much ourselves. And that's why you're there 7 days a week. And that's why you're there 2 or 3 hours later. Or that's why you're there earlier. Is that if you can just take a moment and say, you know what? This person in my church might be able to help me do this, or that person might be able to do that. And if you actually reached out and asked for help, that you'd be amazed at how many people would be like, oh yeah, I can help you with that. I could do that. So sorry to go long on that question, but it's really important.
That's great.
It's really important to me. And I just want to encourage everyone listening. You can wow your kids. You can wow their parents. And it doesn't matter about your environment. It matters about your heart and your commitment. Are you prayed up? Are you ready to minister? Have you studied? Are you just showing up looking at some notes 10 minutes before service? Or are you actually really prepared? I'm telling you, it will make a huge difference. And if you do that and you're able to do some really cool stuff on your environment and everything else, it goes way farther than that.
Love it. Hey, Gabe, if folks want to connect with you, if they want to learn more about Worlds of Wow, or if they just want to communicate with you, what are some social media stuff? What's the website? What's all the stuff?
Man, thanks. You can reach out to me, Gabe, G-A-B-E, at worldsofwow.com. Ask me questions. Hey, I saw this. I saw that. Hey, we're just getting started. Hey, we're a mobile church, and we're just doing that. That's okay. Let's talk. This is still ministry. I still want to help you reach people. You can go to worldsofwow.com. Remember, that's with an S, worldsofwow.com. You can connect with us on social media at Worlds of Wow on Instagram and Twitter. Also, connect with me. I'm at Gabe Boucher on Facebook. I'm at Gabe Boucher on Twitter. Some guy beat me to it on Instagram, so it's Boucher Gabe. I put some behind-the-scenes photos, and you get to see everything put together there. But just reach out to Worlds of Wow and at Worlds of Wow, Gabe at worldsofwow.com. Be happy to connect with you. Man, give me a call. Give me an email, and I look forward to talking with you.
Well, hey, Gabe, thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. All the best.
Love getting to talk to friends. Gabe's a great guy. Well, hey, if you're going, you know, hey, that podcast was awesome. I really got a lot out of that. You can go right on ahead and hit the subscribe button. That way you never miss another episode of the Herding Cats podcast. You can also, hey, if this podcast has brought you value, go ahead, leave a rating, write a review. Truly, it is the best way to be able to say thank you, or even just to be able to, you know, help your boy out. Come on. Leave a rating, write a review. You can do that in Apple Podcasts. You can do that on Android Podcasts. We are also on Stitcher. We are on Spotify, all of the places. Go leave a rating, write a review. Really, really, really does help us a lot on the show. Also, just another reminder, I know I keep saying this over and over and over again, but I'm going to be at Orange Conference 2019 in Atlanta, Georgia. Be following us on Twitter at Herding Cats Pod and on Instagram, Herding Cats Podcast. You're going to want to do that because I'm going to be going crazy. I'm going to be all over the place. I'd love to say hi. Also, remember, we have a website, herdingcatspodcast.com. Go check it out for all sorts of updates. There's a blog component, all sorts of, all the things. Go do it right now. Like right now. Like, seriously. Right now. Anyways, sorry, got bogged down with that. Well, hey, until next time, keep learning, keep growing. Deuces, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Herding Cats Podcast. We hope you tune in next time.